This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za. Power Business with Sfiso Skhenjana. Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. and Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on Power 98.7.
It is 25 minutes after 6 o'clock, Power Listener, and of course, we continue taking a look into the world of business. And this is a world of dirty business. Dirty business. State capture. Bain & Company, of course, has been banned from bidding for government contracts in the UK for 3 years. And, of course, on the back of the dirty hand that they had in enabling state capture in South Africa. Yes, they're complaining, saying, oh, but we gave back the money. But at the end of the day, I think it's an important move. But, of course, the guys who look at these numbers and understand also some of the political remnants of such a move will certainly help us unpack that. And so we are joined by Putkaya Stoyle, of course, that is very familiar voice to the Power Listener. Putkaya, kunjan?
Ngiyaphila malumela.
Ngiyaphila puti. Yeah, high-level thoughts on what's happening in the UK on Bain & Co?
Well, yeah, I think obviously some countries have got a much greater sense of accountability than what South Africa has. And what has happened is quite extraordinary for a couple of reasons. The first reason is that it is important for us to note that what Bain is being held accountable for is nothing that it did in the United Kingdom, but something that it did in South Africa. Now, of course, we've been very fortunate enough that one of the anti-apartheid activists, Lord Peter Hain, has been quite adamant that Bain needs to be held accountable wherever they operate, not just in South Africa. So since 2020, he's been lobbying hard for Bain to actually explain what it did. And of course, we know that they're not in a position to explain it. So then he's been lobbying the British Parliament to actually ban them from state contracts, from participation in state contracts. And of course, after much lobbying, he has finally succeeded and they have been banned. So that is the first point to note. Mm. The second point to note, unfortunately, is that in spite of how good the news is, it's a bit embarrassing for South Africa, isn't it?
It's terrible. It's terrible because, I mean, we can't get our house in check. We're not making any meaningful moves to show that we don't encourage this behavior. And someone else is punishing people on behavior happening in your yard.
Yeah, and I think obviously it's very clear that we've got a much lower barometer compared to other countries for what accountability means. So remember, for example, that one of the biggest business formations in South Africa, which was Business Leadership South Africa, actually took the extraordinary step last year of re-engaging or at least readmitting Bain into its fold on the basis that they said that, according to them, Bain had actually done all that was needed to essentially pay for the crimes that they caused in South Africa. And the reason they'd say that is that Bain had simply paid back the money that they'd taken in the SARS contract. And of course, that allowed the facilitator of the entire exercise, which was Vittorio Mazzoni, to essentially resign without any consequence. So clearly in South Africa, we've got a low barometer. And when Business Leadership was actually questioned about the merits of having done that, they went on the attack. They defended their position. They said that they'd got it right. And they were only saved by Bain itself, which then voluntarily decided to resign its membership of Business Leadership South Africa. And the reason that's important, Sfiso, is that obviously you can imagine that Business Leadership South Africa is made up of the most prominent and the most important businesses in the country. And if their collective wisdom told them that this is acceptable, it says a lot about the collective integrity of business in South Africa.
Collective integrity of business in South Africa, and also KPMG, we've kind of forgotten about them too.
Yeah, so actually KPMG got me into trouble because many years ago I was on a panel discussion with the current CEO of Business Leadership South Africa, and I mentioned that they had actually secretly and quietly readmitted KPMG into their membership without actually anyone knowing. And of course, the fact that they had done that when South Africans were still asking questions about what exactly KPMG was apologizing for, why were they paying back the money, indicates to you that BLSA's understanding of what accountability means should actually leave us all quite worried.
Sure. I mean, lots to be worried there. And you know, we keep talking King Five now and all of those things. But again, these just become kind of textbook conversations around true governance as well as true state of accountability.
Yeah, and of course, the litmus test for how committed people are to all these principles that they cite in the annual report is what do they do when an actual case study confronts them? What do they do when they actually have to deal with the fact that one of their members has actually done something that is so egregious it has caused untold damage to the state? The problem, of course, Siso, is that when we say it caused untold damage to the state, those members of BLSA themselves were not insulated, because if something goes wrong in the state at large, everyone suffers, including BLSA, including the members of BLSA. So the fact that they still felt that they could re-embrace or re-engage these particular companies while the rest of us were still trying to figure out whether they'd done enough to actually account for what they'd done indicates that perhaps the problem of membership fees being the basis of engagement between business formations and businesses themselves remains the greatest dilemma that they all have.
And maybe, Kai, just to ask one question, one closing question around just consistency around this particular Bain issue. Because, I mean, I think in the global context, we've seen the likes of Deutsche Bank being fined over and over again around anti-competitive behavior, bribery, fraud. We've seen mining companies there also coming through, etc. But those haven't been barred from doing business with the state. You know, are we consistent in how we're looking at this, or maybe not so consistent?
No, definitely not consistent. And unfortunately, it all comes down to the question of who decides to champion a particular cause. Mm. So if you look, for example, at how Glencore has actually been subjected to the normal litigation processes, it is simply because somebody in the United States Department of Justice was adamant that whatever crimes had been committed, it didn't matter where they had been committed, but the United States felt that it needed to hold that particular company accountable. In this Bain situation, it is simply because the person or the individual who has championed the cause happens to be a person with a political persuasion. Mm. So he went for the political angle to say that I think politically it's unpalatable that the state should be giving state contracts to an organization that has done this. You and I could have approached it from a different way altogether. Mm. So I think it all comes down to the question of who decides to champion the cause and how will they do it. There isn't a linear accountability mechanism. And in South Africa, we know that the Zondo Commission simply said that all the contracts, state contracts that Bain has, need to be scrutinized. And since then, we haven't heard anything from any of the state organizations that have been engaging Bain.
Sure. And certainly, BLSA is not going to be championing anything in South Africa. Kaya Ngosuputi, and we appreciate the reflections.
Thank you very much.
Well, listener, that was Uput Kaya's story. He was an accountant and a commentator, of course, and also an alumni of course, Power Business, giving us some reflections from an accountant's lens, as well as just political reflections on everything that's got to do with Bain & Co. and, of course, what's happening in the UK and how they're now, of course, being barred from participating in any government bids for 3 years. Masamu Segundaba.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.